King for the day. Queen for the day. Would you like to be king for the day or queen for the day?
I am.
Well, do you think you could handle it?
Yeah.
This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with King for the Day. Do you think you could handle being king for the day? You know, you look at a king and you say he just does anything he pleases. And he does whatever makes him happy, and he's always doing irrational things as far as the people are concerned. Would you like to be a king? Would you like to be a king where you're the father of a people? You're the governor of the people? You are the voice of the people? You are the guide of the people? You make sure that you are always the perfect example of the people, the role model of the people? Do you think you could be the role model of the people? Do you ever do anything that you believe is not correct? Do you ever do anything that you think is improper? Do you ever do anything that you wouldn't like your mother to know about? You see, being a king, if you're really a king, and you're the ideal king, you don't really have any problem. For number one, you were raised by parents who loved you and were the role model for you. You were raised by parents who taught you values. And as you became king, you took those values and made them your values, which you had already done, of course. And then your country lived by your values. Do you think a country lives by the king's values? You bet it does. You bet it does. Do you think that the president-elect Obama is going to be a great guy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you think so? Because you think that he has values. Now, has he done anything in his life that has made you have confidence in him? Has he done anything in his life that has made you not have confidence in him? Now, does he have to believe just like you do? Or are the values that he believes in beyond doing just like you do? Now, you may think it's okay to be a Catholic, and he may think it's okay to be a Protestant. Now, who's right and who's wrong? Now, are you going to not like your king because he is of a different persuasion? Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Many of the kings had attitudes and lifestyles that the people did not themselves follow. And the people said, oh, that's King George, or that's King James, or that's whatever. And instead of doing that, if you, the people, have values, and you have values not just philosophical values like what religion you belong to or what this or that, but values that go into the universal category. If you have values that go into the universal category, and you notice that the king is not expressing those for some reason, do you discard the king, or do you say, I see the king having the highest and best values for himself and for the country? I see Obama having the highest and best values for himself and for his country. And he stands behind these values at all times, and he lives behind these values at all times now. There are people that come into your life that threaten you and that want to make you change your values, that want to make you live by another code of ethics that are not that you have not been raised under yourself. Now, how much effort would it take to change your values? It's like that story of the girl who is approached by a man and says, will you go to bed with me? And nowadays it seems a little more freer, but still, let's say that he's a a terrible looking man and an evil man and an ugly man in every possible way, just despicable in every way. And not necessarily he's bad, but he's just, you know, ugly and ugly. And she said, no, I couldn't, you know. No, you couldn't go to bed with me, huh? Okay, well, here's $100, you know, here's $1,000, here's $1,000,000, here's $1 trillion, $1 billion, you know. And wow, well, now, what would you do with the money that you got for breaking your values? Now, the value is not that he is right or wrong, or he is good or bad, but would you allow yourself to, first place, do something that's against your values, regardless of what the money involved is? And the second place, would you, if you did something against your values, would you do it for money? Could you do it just to be bought? Could you overlook it? They say the justice of the peace, they want him to overlook something. The judge, they want him to overlook something. And what is that called? That's called a bribe. And bribes are quite common in federal government, in state, local government, and jurisdictional governments too. Bribes are quite common. And the richer the person, the more they bribe people to get what they want to get and to accomplish what they want to accomplish. Now, can you stand up for yourself without bribes? Could you be the President of the United States and say, this is my value, these are my values, and it's what I stand up for, and I'm going to fight for my values all the way, and I'm not going to take one bribe. I'm not going to pay one bribe. I'm not going to do anything to get people to approve of my values. Now, could you do that? And you say, oh, yes, 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 yeah, sure you could. Uh-huh. This is not easily done. It's not easily done. Just like the woman who said that President, what's his name?
Clinton.
President Clinton. That President Clinton did something with her. And why would she say that? Well, she was paid by someone to do that. And her personal values were such that she could allow herself to do that. Now, and she stood up for it. Now, if she doesn't stand up for it, then that makes her even worse. That makes her even worse that she has been paid to do something, and she took the money, and she did it, and then after the damage is done, then she backed off and said, no, I didn't do that, you know. Because, you know, you can't do that. Those things don't work that way. But that's what many people do. Can you stand up for your values? Do you know what your values are? I said to Ellen, I said, are you the queen? And she says, yes. I said, do you have a right to do anything you want because you're the queen and you're running the show here and it's your program? Oh, no, not really. But I said, well, do you have the right to park your car right in the middle of the driveway so no one can drive through, and you're parked right there that no one could get by if they wanted a delivery man or something coming to the house? And she says, no. And I said, well, why do you do that? And she says, I have no reason. Well, and that's true. You have no reason. When we do things that are inconsiderate of other people in our world, and we are supposed to be, what?
The role model.
The role model. Then what sort of a role model are we? Not a very good one. Now, this is quite a simple thing, parking because you want to park there. Now, I'm going to give you another role model gesture, which is a good kick in the butt, too. Think of this. You know how to speak your word and say, I always have a parking place right by the door of the hotels or the store or the restaurant that I want to go in. Why don't you say, I always have a perfect parking place, and then let it go at that. Yeah. Now, Ingeborg is 83 years old, is it? 84 and 5 and 6. Ingeborg is 83, and Ingeborg is getting a little tired of doing a lot of things. And so she would like to drive in the golf cart, and she would like to get a ride in the car, and she would like to do lots of things where she didn't have to exercise. Now, if Ingeborg stops exercising, the next step is the grave. If Ingeborg stops being interested and excited about life, the next step is the grave. Now, if Ingeborg wants to do these things, well, that's the next step for her. Now, if she persists in doing that, even though she knows that that is not for her best, then we know that she really has no interest in anything, and we're not going to pay any attention to her. But the minute Ingeborg says, "Hey, I like it. My frame may be old, but my mind is young, and my heart is young, and my attitude is young, and my frame is getting younger every day because I am exercising it and I'm using it." Now, old people have a common problem called vertigo, or lack of balance, or lack of equilibrium. And this is common in every old person. But why is it common?
Because they think they're old.
Because they not only think that they're old, but because they think their body no longer can do what it used to do. Well, now, there's an exercise that has been given to elderly people over 60, and even over 40 is what it really is, because at the age of 40, they say that your equilibrium starts going downhill. Well, if you will stand, you can hold onto a chair or not, and lift up the opposite leg from which you're holding onto a chair with, and you're not holding onto the chair with your leg, you're holding onto the chair with your hand. And so you lift, you hold with your right hand, lift your left leg up to your knee, so your knee is pointing straight out from your thigh, and then you sort of gently move, not swing, but move your leg back and forth, and you move it around, and you maybe even bring it up to your chin, but you take control. Then you let go of the chair, and you keep moving your leg, and you do this maybe 10 times. And then you go to the next leg, and you do the same thing with that. You do that for a couple of days, 3 or 4 times a day, and at the end of those couple of days, you will have amazing equilibrium, amazing balance. And after you've done it for a month, you will just be like a young spring chicken. And after you've done it for a year, you won't even remember when you didn't do it, but you did it consistently and definitely, because it is a balancing technique of the equilibrium system in your ears, in your head, in your mind, in your thought, in your body. And you are a magical person. Now, if you don't do it, even though you know you should, then you're in trouble. Now, Ingeborg went to a yoga class with Sylvia, and the two of them went to the yoga class. Well, the teacher had to change the time of the class. Well, now, this didn't really disturb Sylvia or Ingeborg, because their time is always free to go whenever they want to. They can go in the morning, noon, or night, doesn't matter. Whenever they come back, their work is still waiting for them, so there's no big problem, you know. But what did they do? They stopped going to the yoga class. They told us that they loved the yoga class, that it was exciting, that they were getting so much good out of it, so much wonder. And then, merely because somebody was challenging them to see if they really loved it, if they really wanted to go, and so they stopped going. Now, we do this all through our life. We have wonderful opportunities. I remember my sister and I used to go dancing. And I used to think to myself, great, 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 I can learn all these dances. Well, she never liked to go to dances with me. She wanted to go with her boyfriends, and that's understandable. But I went with my girlfriends. And my girlfriends kept, I didn't tell them I was taking lessons. My girlfriends kept saying, "Boy, you're good. You're wonderful. You're good." And a lot of the prettiest girls in my class, they told me at the high school reunions 50 years later, "Oh, I wished you had invited me. I was always wanting you to be inviting me to go dancing, wanting me to do that, you know." And I said, "Well, you could have given me a little encouragement, you know." I always thought that I wasn't good enough for you, the prettiest girl in class, you know. That's what most of the boys thought. And I said, well, that's what comes from being the prettiest girl. If you were a normal-looking girl, just an ordinary type-looking girl, people would think they had a chance, you know, but otherwise not. So I continued dancing. And when I got married, we danced on television, and we did all those good things. We had just lots of fun. And then, as things happened, I got so busy, and I stopped being dancing, stopped doing those things, stopped having fun that way. And my wife didn't care to dance without me, and so she stopped doing it. But because of that, well, we both got old, and we passed our thousands a year, and we decided, hey, this is just enough of that now. So we're going to start going backwards and younger all the time. And so both of us started doing things that started helping us be younger. Well, I really went whole hog at it. I said, I'm 25 years old of age. I said, I'm younger every day. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I said, all of these beautiful, dynamic, wonderful things, and so it is. And she didn't say that. And so she felt sad from time to time, and she felt bad from time to time, and she felt mad from time to time, and that's not the way it really should be. Now, I encouraged her to do these things, just like I did, but she has to create it for herself, and you and I, each of us, have to create it for ourselves. Now, what are you going to create for yourself? Are you a king or a queen? Or do you want to die? When you get old, you're 2 years old, you want to die? When you're 5 years old, you want to die? When you're 10 years, 12, 40, 50 years old, 60, 70, 80 years old, 90, 100, you want to die? Well, you tell the world you want to die because you stop living. And life is so filled with great possibilities of living. You know, just a little point on dancing. I have danced with a lot of wonderful people. And the more professional the person I danced with, the more they made me feel that I was the greatest dancer in the world. Now, they had to juggle just a little bit in their dancing techniques to fit me into their genius. I mean, they were masters, absolute masters. I had the privilege of dancing with them. And they knew how to have me lead them so that they look good and I look good. And that's an art. That's really an art. And we watched this show about these children in New York learning how to dance in elementary school, and how the attitude of the children completely changed, and how the little boy says, now don't you lead me, let me lead, you know, because the little girl was a leader, you know. And so she had to learn to be a follower, but a leader, a follower. She had to know what her steps were, because her steps were not always what his were. Her steps were maybe 3 or 4 times as more energetic, and how beautiful. But the boy can be the tree, or the girl can be the leaves that are falling. It all depends on how you're going to look at it and get the magic of any adventure. So, yes, you're the king, you're the queen of your own world. Now, are you a retiring monarch, or are you a newly born monarch, or are you a fully developed monarch, living dynamically, vital, dynamic, alive in every area of your life all the time and happy about it? Well, I like to think that we're living vital, dynamic, alive all the time and very happy about it. Thank you for being with me. I love you eternally.
I love you.